Young and Indigenous Podcast is an outlet for people to know about Indigenous knowledge, storytelling, and history. Through our youthful journeys as Indigenous people, young people and elders share their experiences with us. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Come listen to Plants, a podcast series featuring many different plant knowledge keepers with diverse perspectives and plant philosophies. A series brought to you by Children of the Setting Sun Productions and Cultural Survival Youth Fellow Opportunities.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Young and Indigenous Podcast. Today we're here with Morgan Brown, and this is an episode of the Plant Series brought to you by Cultural Survival and Children of the Setting Sun Productions. Morgan, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Morgan Brown, Dewayu, Simsianu, Lisa Virik, Dinoyu, Ted Brown, Dinagwadu, Gishputwada, Deeptegu. My name is Morgan Brown, and I'm Simsian, and my mother is Lisa Virik. My father is Ted Brown, and I am the Blackfish Clan.
And could you tell us a little bit more about where you are from?
So I grew up primarily in the Seattle area, as well as Ketchikan, Alaska. And my Tsimshian lineage goes back to Prince Rupert or Old Methlakahtla.
And could you define your relationship with the plants?
Yeah, I could spend a lot of time doing that. When I was a little girl and I needed someone to be there for me, it was often the plants that were there. I spent a lot of time alone as a child, and there was a little creek behind my my neighbor's house. Walter, he was an old man, and he would walk around with his cane, and I would sneak by his house and go down by the creek there, and there was skunk cabbage flowers and cedar trees, and I'd bring my little stick with a string and pretend to fish down there, and it was like my timeless place. The water bugs were like the most fascinating thing to me. I was just so fascinated about how they could walk on water like that, like the original Jesus. And there was some, they just gave me some kind of medicine when I really needed that. Yeah, I guess later on when I was in high school is when I really started gravitating toward plants, and just had so much curiosity around how they are medicine for us. And ever since then, it's just been like full on curiosity.
Thank you. Wow, it sounds like you have a direct connection with nature from a very young age.
Yeah, I would say like being on that path of curiosity has been very meandering, and I've explored lots of different ways of coming into relationship with the plants. I did go to a school for herbal medicine. It was much more traditional Western herbalism oriented. And growing up away from my community for the most part, I wasn't quite sure how to access a lot of our traditional knowledge. The plants have a way of leading us along the way, and they have a different sense of time. So when the timing was right, I was able to come into connection with other Tsimshian plant people and be able to share that aspect of identity and love of plants, and have been able to find more cultural knowledge as well. And I'm really grateful for that perspective that I have of dipping into these different realms of plant knowledge. A lot of what I have come to understand is just how important it is to be in direct relationship with the plants and to really get to know them for who they are and not just read about them in a book or hear about them from somebody else, because it's just like any relationship. Like they will choose to share things with you that they might not share with somebody else, and they may be medicine for you in a unique way. So that's what I tend to do a lot now, is just spend time with them and try to listen to them.
You have a unique perspective on life, and it's almost as if you're being guided by the plants themselves. And we live in a world where people kind of lack that connection to the natural world, and through seeking these connections, you know, do you feel that the world could directly be benefit society, mental health, social health, and emotional health, etc.?
Yes, definitely. I think that especially as Indigenous people, so much of our teachings and our understandings and even our languages come from our territories and come from all of our relatives that we share these territories with. And when we take the time to be in relationship with them and like really learn how to listen to them, there's just so much wealth that's in that. There's so much abundance. And I think if we spent more time listening to the plants, we would be in a way better place than we are currently. And I like to joke that like the plants actually have my schedule book, and they're filling it out for me. And I just try to show up where they want me to be. And they have such an amazing way of being able to weave things together. And the more that I learn how to listen to them, which feels like a never ending journey, the more that I'm also able to partake in the work that they want to be happening in our world.
You shared with us that the plants almost guide your schedule or calendar per se. Could you give us some examples of how the plants determine time in the natural world, or really in the world for all of us?
Yeah. The first one that pops in my mind is even just being here where we are right now, like recording this podcast. And this is the time of year that we come to harvest the Devil's Club root. And the last time that we got together and met up and talked about this podcast, you had mentioned, Free, that you were interested in harvesting the Devil's Club root. So that's an example of like listening to the plants, because that was also the Devil's Club, like calling us out here. And it is that time of year. So it comes from a way of listening inside of ourselves, because we are part of this same time that connects us with everything. And another thing that speaks to that sense of time is around this time of year, I will go up way up high into the mountains and harvest the bare root. After all the parts above the ground die back and all of that life force is down in the roots and in the earth. And on the way down from the mountain harvesting the bare root, there's a bunch of blue elderberry that happens to be ripe right at the same time as the bare root. And this also happens to be at the same time when we are facing many colds, different kinds of colds or viruses that are getting passed around. And those medicines together just happen to be really great for our immune systems and packed with antioxidants. And the bare root has a strong affinity for our lungs too. So it helps keep that congestion out. And it helps protect us from those viruses that might try to bog us down a bit. So, yeah, that's... And then there's also... there's the first windstorm that comes in the fall, the first big windstorm. And that windstorm has a way of breaking down those branches that are dying from the trees, where there's a lot of that lichen medicine. There's the lungwort and the usnea, and those medicines also help to keep us healthy. So after the first windstorm, I'll go out and harvest those medicines and pull out my elderberries and my bare root and make a big tea and just share that around with everybody that I'm around. And I'll also make a cough syrup with honey or maple syrup too. If you're really patient and have time, you can make maple syrup from the maple trees around here as well. Ooh. Ooh.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really fascinating, and like a direct connection that you see, you know, this time of year that everybody sees are like the trees falling from the leaves, which is just another example of the plants telling us, you know, what time of year it is. You know, it's almost as if they're going to sleep, and in a way, it's kind of like telling us to get inside, you know, to bundle up and, you know, maybe protect ourselves for the winter. What tips could you give to our audience when it comes to respecting the plants, whether it be walking through the woods, harvesting, or just being a good community member to the natural world?
I think... how a lot of us grow up nowadays, getting a lot of our food and medicine from the store, it can feel very transactional. We can get used to having a certain posture, and sometimes it's easy to be in a posture of just taking without acknowledging, without asking, without offering the visibility to our relatives. Just taking the time to slow down. If when we're coming out to gather our medicines, there's a lot of things to consider. Consider the territory that you're within, consider the people of that territory, and really think about them also as that territory. And, you know, there's a lot to speak about right relations when it comes to harvesting in other people's traditional territories, which could probably be an entire podcast of its own. But just ask yourself these kinds of questions. And we talk a lot about plants as taking them or doing them. And, you know, we're kind of a bit entrapped in communicating through English language a lot, which doesn't allow for certain expressions of worldview to come through fluidly. Even just sitting out here next to the Devil's Club, like, I'm recognizing them as active participants in this conversation. and making sure that you're really asking, that no is an okay answer when we're coming out with an intention, because we're not the only ones with intentions. You know, when you are going out for a certain medicine, when you're feeling called to a certain plant, ask what you can do for that plant too. How can you provide visibility? And what are the teachings of that plant? What is the responsibility that you're taking on and taking, you know, and a lot of times when we're harvesting, we are taking life. There are certain medicines that we harvest that we don't have to take the life of a plant. But especially when we're taking the life of a plant, that's, you know, that's not a small thing. So it's a very loving thing. It's an incredibly loving thing for another being to share their life with us, to be medicine for us. And you know, that's what really holds us all together. Just letting that love come through you and be shared however it is with that specific plant.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, that's a powerful perspective. Is it possible that honoring and respecting these relationships with the plant world and really the land itself can strengthen the medicine that you seek?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. There is something, because sometimes we do talk about like believing in things, and I'm sure many of us are familiar with the term of placebo. When we do believe something is a certain way, that belief alone holds its own medicine. And at the same time, I feel like there is a difference between believing in something and like really knowing something. And that's something that really stuck out to me actually when I was listening to John Trudell, like a speech of John Trudell's was, why do we have to believe if it just is? Like, if we know it, we don't need to believe in it. So I think that's really what strengthens the medicine, is taking the time to know the plants. It's very different when you walk into a store, or there still is a certain quality that plants carry without you even having to know them. They will work their medicine inside of you, but it's different to actually partner with them and to take the time to know who they are as beings and develop a relationship. The medicine that they offer us is not purely physical medicine, and they are often treated in that way. And it can be kind of extractive to only acknowledge them in their physically medicinal capacities. They have so much more to them than that. And they love it when we see them, when we really take the time to give them visibility. And there's so much that can happen when we really partner with them.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing that that quote from John Trudell. He's definitely one of the indigenous leaders that I read about and look up to. You know, all the work that he has done in indigenous communities and his connection to the Pacific Northwest. Could you share about your history of wildcrafting? When you started, or if you have any stories of your people historically using plant medicine?
Geez, probably like going back to the creek behind my old man Walter's house. I thought the skunk cabbage flowers were so beautiful. And, you know, my mom was the world to me at that time. So I remember one time distinctly picking one of the skunk cabbage flowers and bringing it back to her. And they have what I think is an amazing odor. Like, they smell so good to me. They make me want to breathe so deep and just soak it in. And I think my mom was, she was kind of surprised. you know, it's, I don't know if you've seen the skunk cabbage flowers, but they're big and smelly. And yeah, so that's probably the first time that I can really remember being out there. And, you know, I didn't really have someone at that time in my life to show me how to harvest in respectful ways and how to ask. But there was just a beautiful relationship. There was a lot of love and happiness that the skunk cabbage flower gave me, and I wanted to share that. I think really I started getting into harvesting a little bit when I was in high school, but still I didn't feel like I had direct access to the plants. Like, I would kind of just go to the herb store and like look at all of the different jars of herbs and was so curious, and make teas out of them. It wasn't until I was in my late teens, early 20s, when I really started getting in to harvesting. And yeah, it was a lot kind of in a more Western format. Like I said, I went to an herb school, and I was able to learn about like ethical ways of harvesting, and you know, don't take too many from a stand, and each plant has its own particularities of how to care for it when you're going out and asking for medicine. I think it was really in going to that school and also just not feeling satisfied. Like, there was an aspect that I was missing, and then connecting with other Tsimshian plant people really helped things to land. I felt like home. Yeah, so I went to that school, but then it's still just, I was looking for something different. It wasn't until maybe 10 years ago, I was at a sweat, and I met my elder Joe there. He was able to, he's also Alaskan Native, and he was able to like show me how to harvest cedar in a good way, which I hadn't. There are certain medicines that I didn't even want to try to harvest until I really felt like I learned from somebody in a good way, just like an instinct, which I think is important to listen to. Just connecting with other Tsimshian plant people and learning like some of our protocols and the times of year that we harvest them, which is different. I learned some very different things, like from our cultural knowledge that was different than what I learned going to traditional Western herbalism school. I really understood the importance more about like the depth of relationships that we have with the plants that we share territory with. It's very different when your ancestors have been in relationship with certain plants, like since time immemorial. When you're in a territory where there's different medicine and different plants than what your ancestors have relationship with, it's just very different. You know, I do think it's important for us to turn to our ancestral medicines and know what those are, because that our plants connect us with our ancestors. And when we choose to take those medicines inside of ourselves, we're also making a choice to feed them inside of us. And it makes them stronger inside of us when we keep those relationships going. Really, they gave us life already, whether we know it or not, just by taking care of our ancestors. So there is a deep kind of honoring in choosing to keep bringing life into those relationships.
Thank you. And yeah, that was a really beautiful way of expressing that. I've never really thought about plants giving life to us through them supplying, you know, our life to our ancestors as well. It's a really interesting, fascinating way to think about our relationship with plants. What are some ways you share your knowledge with the community?
Just like every day, I feel like anytime someone gives me the opportunity to talk about plants, I'll do it. Definitely in my job, I'm able to share a good amount of my knowledge with plants. I work for the Swinomish tribe, and my job title is the Environmental Education Coordinator. But really what I get to do is teach our Between Two Worlds Indigenous Science curriculum, which means that my day-to-day looks like going into the LeConner High School and teaching our class, which is 50 minutes long. And a lot of the kids are really interested in plants. Like, they want to learn about plants so much. This year was the first time that I made Indian tea for them. And at first, like, they were a little bit skeptical of it. They're like, I don't know. But they drank some. And one of my students, he actually had a bellyache when he came into class. And then he said after drinking that tea, he's like, hey, auntie, can I get another cup of that tea? My bellyache's gone now. And, you know, every time I bring the tea in, he always takes a big cup, fills it up on his way out the door. And then we started talking to other kids in the school, too, and telling them that there's tea in our classroom. And there's kids even coming in that aren't in our class wanting the tea. So it makes my heart so happy to give more access, because those are their medicines. You know, that's, they already know that inside themselves. They know that they want that, and just seeing them love it makes, that's like, I feel like my work is maybe not done, but it just really satisfies me. And we also pushed really hard last year to be able to have an outdoor learning space and an ethnobotanical garden actually on the school grounds. You know, after several board meetings and some pushback, the board actually approved for us to be able to have this space for them to be in direct relationship with a lot of their plant relatives. And we're developing a kinship ecosystems lesson plans to be able to help them learn how to listen to the plants and how the plants actually take care of each other and create ecosystems of care. Yeah, that's probably the most alive form of sharing my knowledge in my life.
Thank you. Yeah, that sounds like very important work. And it's so wonderful to hear that students, you know, that the youth are really a part of your work and benefiting from that work. This goes into another question that I've been meaning to ask. You mentioned earlier that you smoke tobacco in its natural form when you do smoke. Why have you not deterred to alternate products such as vapes?
Honestly, I feel like just my instinct, I was immediately repulsed to vapes, because a lot of smoking for me is also about like taking in that smoke, the relationship with the tobacco. And I also put other plants in there too. There's the kinnikinick, and then yeah, I make different smoke blends. There's certain times where smoking feels like something that I want to do for medicine. And it's very different to be in relationship with tobacco or other plants. You know, for some people, they also smoke cannabis. There's these different plants that we do look to for medicine, but being able to do that in a respectful way, and not just like using them is, I think, really important. So, you know, when we get into addiction, we're not respecting those plants anymore. We're just using them. So also, I think when we are consuming something a lot and there's something valuable about that tobacco that we are looking for, it's important to get to know tobacco. So we actually up north, like in my territory, we grew tobacco, and a lot of tribes around here grew tobacco. And I was gifted some seeds from the Nicotiana rustica, which is the closest relative of the tobacco that we have today. That is what we grew, what our ancestors grew around here. And I've been growing that tobacco for probably like 11 or 12 years now. And for a long time, I would just let that tobacco go to seed and then tend to that ground around it, and the tobacco would come up on its own the following year. So it became like naturalized to that place. And that's what I've found how the tobacco likes to grow the most. It doesn't want to be controlled. It wants to have give its seeds naturally and have them come back, with just protecting that area for them to do their thing. But I think like when we start getting into vapes, there's a lot of extraction that happens. We're almost like extracting only these certain constituents from those plants, and we're not able to receive all that medicine because there's a lot more to tobacco than nicotine. And also there's all sorts of things like in vapes that we just don't really know about. We don't know about the long-term effects of them. And we're also missing out on like that ritual that we can have. You know, there's something about just like lighting up that smoke. I think it's also, there's certain people that I want to smoke with, and there's something about that. There's certain places that I want to smoke, and then sometimes I'll go a long time without smoking. Just really taking the time to listen and get clear on what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes, thank you. And this is no way, shape, or form promoting or condoning smoking of anything, but there are alternatives out there. And the fact is that vapes have chemicals that are really unknown, and we just highly encourage that you find a healthy alternative such as tobacco and develop that relationship and that respect towards the plant and everything that it has to offer. Well, Morgan, I think our time here is up.
pitch blackout.
Yeah. <dark. laughs>
But thank you for joining Young and Indigenous Podcast, the plant series. Do you have any other messages for our youth before we close out?
Well, I wanted to thank you too, Free, for doing the work that you are doing and bringing more visibility to our plants and to people that are working with them and sharing that with the youth. And I think It's important to reach out to people within your community. If that's one thing that I learned on my journey, is that what the knowledge that you have within your community and even within yourself, especially to those plants that did take care of your ancestors too, like there's so much that's already there. And sometimes it can feel like you don't know anything or how to even approach it. Be courageous, and like you already know a lot more than you think you do, and the plants will show you if you just go be with them, just hang out with them. But definitely, like, if there's people in your community, reach out to them, because that's important to be respectful like that too, and to carry on those teachings that we do still have in our communities.
Haishka, and thank you for listening to another episode of Young and Indigenous.
Hey, what up, y'all? Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Plant Series. This episode has been produced by Roy Alexander, Free Borsi, Cyrus James, and Ellie Smith. Huge thank you to our funders, the Inatai Foundation, the Cultural Survival Fellowship, the Paul Allen Foundation, and the Whatcom Community Foundation. Original soundtrack by Roy Alexander, Mark Nichols, and Free Borsi. Additional music credits to Jody Okabe and Morgan Brown for providing their songs. Young and Indigenous is a part of Children of the Setting Sun Productions. We are an Indigenous nonprofit set in the homelands of the Lummi and Nooksack people. Haishka for listening. Later, y'all.